Ladies and gentlemen, it has been a long time, at least 2 weeks, but I am very proud to present a brand new episode of Artsy, Fartsy, Immigrants. Play the song. Yo, we are back, we are live, we are fresh, we are into it, we are ingrained, we are threaded within, we are stitched, we are felt up, and we are okay with it. Guys, it has been a very long time, it feels like to me at least, since we've touched base with, the wonderful, wonderful, beloved, deeply appreciated, and incredibly small audience for Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. There are so many things to talk about, so many things going on. Like, there is so much stuff about work that's happening that is absolutely crazy. But also, and I think even more relevant to that, is the fact that I have had a consistent and wild amount of family visitation going on in the last few weeks. Let me look at this little calendar here on my phone, and let me just take a little look at what's been going on. So, you know, I said 2 weeks, maybe it's been more because I did some reruns, but that does not count. That does not count. Let's look at, you know, August here. August, I left on the 23rd for a vacation in Italy. And I sadly did not do any shows from Italy, but I should have, now that I think about it. But, the thing is, it's just not that easy. It's not that easy. And, you know, if you live in Europe in any capacity, especially in Central Europe, it's gonna be the thing that from mid-August until at least end of September. I was going to say mid-September, but, you know, they keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. I would say from mid-August until end of September, you are gambling with the availability of your peers. You're gambling with the chance to partake in any kind of recording session, any kind of work, especially in freelance. People would, you know, maybe call this a creative program. I would not stoop so low as to call it that. But you might if you're drunk. So I left on the 23rd of August to go to Italy on a vacation. And I was gone for quite a chunk. On the 27th of August was my parents' 197,000th wedding anniversary. They've been married since before I was born. Can you believe that? They've been married since before I was born. That's, you know, like at least 18 years ago. Isn't that crazy? They've been married for a long time. Please forgive me for not remembering in this moment how long. 40-something years, and that might not be true. Let me look. I think I'm not going to look now because I know whenever I look on the show for something, unless it's like extremely easy to access, I should stop doing that because I know that I waste time and I know that it's not super fun for the listener. But with that knowledge in mind, the 27th of August was my parents' 8 millionth wedding anniversary. It's just crazy how long they've been together. 40-something. I would guess 40-something. I might have heard that. I might be wrong. I'm going to get a text from my mother, so I will be able to correct it on the next episode. I was still gone throughout their anniversary. whilst I was in Italy until the 1st of September. So this is already a big chunk, right? So it actually wasn't just 2 weeks that I was gone. It looks like it was maybe more like four. That sucks, and I'm really sorry. I think I always underestimate how much time, like how much real genuine time Europeans take off from, like I said, mid August until end of September. It's a lot. It's a lot, and you know, I think legitimately on paper I could say mid August to mid September, but then it, you know, in my case, living in Germany, there's Oktoberfest, which starts very soon. And this is another talking point that I should try and ease into for this episode, because there has been an opportunity offered to me to be a part of it, to be a part of one of those parade, you know, not floats, not like a parade float, but part of one of the things that's like there, that, you know, part of one of the parades that's part of Oktoberfest. But, you know, I don't know if I'm going to do it yet. I don't know if I'm going to be in town for it yet. And it's kind of like a whole thing. But I've been asked for the very first time. And that's craziness. And that is something to think about. Because for those who are from the States, and especially from a smaller town, perhaps even a bigger city, you'll know what I mean when I tell you, like, or when we collectively think about a city or a town that has a parade, right? Now, in my experience, I would say I am most familiar with Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras branches out into a large amount. It takes up a large amount of space in Louisiana. Of course, you have your little pieces of New Orleans sprinkled about where the main parade maps take place. And there are so many parades, so many over this, you know, week and a half max period. And it branches out into the neighboring towns for the germs out there. You know, you have like Munich. If you think about Munich, for you germs out there, you have the rings, right? You have that center ring, that center part of the town, which will cost a certain amount to travel to. And then you have this exterior, like neighboring exterior ring, that is a little further away. And that will cost a little bit more money to have a train ticket for, and then so on and so forth, right? So you look at it a bit like a spider web. You have your little center, you know, little poop ring, and then it just expands. There's the next ring and the next ring and the next ring. So that's a bit like how most European cities, I believe, at least in Germany, sort of function. And in Louisiana, when it comes to Mardi Gras, it's that same idea, but just for Mardi Gras. You have this center ring, which is like the main public, exciting, highly populated areas of the main city where Mardi Gras takes place. Of course, like, you know, Bourbon Street, but that's, you know, whatever, that's like saying, oh, you know, when there's a European World Cup, it's going to be populated at the Marienplatz here in Munich. Like, that part's obvious, but I just mean, like, there's these rings of separation, and Mardi Gras extends beyond that to the neighboring towns, which have parades on, you know, different days, and it extends the celebration a little bit longer. Some things are a little bit smaller in scale, but are appreciated just as much. And, you know, you can go to Kenner or to Metairie, for those who are familiar with that area, and see just as many wonderful parades. I was recently invited to take part in one of those big parade, I don't know what you call them, like carriages, you know? It's not to dive too deep into it, because I'm just not sure if I can do it, but Oktoberfest is starting, like, very, very, very soon, and I should probably give a confirmation or not if I can be a part of the it's like a float. It's like a float, but it's not a float. A float for non-Americans is like a float is like when you have like a flatbed truck that has a ton of people on it that are a part of a community or a group or an organization, and they have decided to dress the same and be a, you know, like, let's say, okay, let me just make up like a hypothetical one, right? Let's say you're part of a parade route in some town and there is a float. You are like me. You are a film nerd who is interested. Let's say it's like a film parade, right? Okay, let's say it's like a film parade, a float, on a very small local town scale, as opposed to the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade thing, which is insane. A smaller town float version of that, which we always had in high school for our sporting events and for the first day of school and blah, 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 is basically like a large flatbed truck. So it's a large, like a diesel truck that pulls this flat bed, like a flat, you know, a flat bed with wheels, and it's, you can stack it with things and you can decorate it to be a thing, and it just fits a lot of people on it. And the group of people on this flatbed truck are part of an organization or a team or a company. And, you know, in some towns it's like a group of people from a certain like insurance company or from a cheerleading dance choreography organization. Or, you know, whatever the F, my parents were just visiting, so I'm keeping things PG. And there is an opportunity for me to be a part of, you know, a float would be one of these trucks, but it's like this, it's a horse carriage thing. It's a carriage that is part of the parade that enters into and is part of the opening ceremony of Oktoberfest, which is a huge honor and a huge thing to do. And probably I should and will do it, but I should answer the thing soon. And it's like connected to the circus. And that isn't the thing that keeps me from doing it. But if I were to do it, it's the thing that makes me wonder if I would stand out and not fit in. It could be really fun to be a part of that, but it's an interesting thing of you have like, you know, six horses pulling a giant carriage, and then amongst the carriage you have these wealthy people who own and operate and are connected to the, you know, famous Munich circus. And then, you know, the carriage extends, and then you have people who are juggling bowling pins. And I just wonder, like, do I fit into that image? I don't think so, but maybe it could be fun to do it because it's weird. I don't know if that, maybe I'm just overthinking it, and you know, I'm pretty good at that. I'm pretty good at overthinking. So, maybe I'll just do it. I had some issues with scheduling to be a part of it, but I think it's going to work out regardless. So if I do it, I will be making content about it. Don't you worry. So you will see. And I will let you know as soon as I agree to do it. It didn't come through a professional colleague or like through a, you know, business relationship. It came, strangely enough, through like a personal connection. And, you know, maybe that's just something special to add to like this list of wild events that have taken place because of luck or circumstance or, you know, the right place at the right time. And it could be something funny to put into the podcast and to, you know, add to our, you know, show that we're trying to pitch and stuff. So maybe it's the right thing to do just simply for that reason alone. I have a lot of anxiety about, you know, perhaps being stuck around a ton of people juggling bowling pins with clown makeup and I can't talk to them, and then I might be a bit anxious, but maybe that's a good thing. I think professionally, especially, it's good to put yourself in a spot where you are scared for the right reasons. I think if you're not scared or nervous or anxious, you're not doing the right thing. But, you know, I feel like prisoners on death row are probably pretty scared too, so it has to be the right context. But like, for example, doing this comedy tour next month, that's a big thing too, is I have this big comedy tour next month, and it terrifies me. It's exciting, and I think it's going to be a good show, and I think particularly the last show that I have in Munich is going to be the best show because I can run it, you know, whatever it is, 4 days in a row. But it's still this thing of like standing up there, you know, essentially naked with just you and a microphone and however many hundreds of people. But that's not really what this episode is about. That stuff's, you know, I'm going to get into that. We're going to talk about that. There's a lot of things to get into. What a long intro. This is classic artsy fartsy immigrant nonsense here. But what we are here to really talk about is the fact that I was gone for a while, and we had, yes, this trip to Italy. Then once that ended, basically the very, essentially within like 48 hours after I was back at my own home from traveling to Italy, I encountered, no, that's not the right way to say it, because I was looking at my phone just now, and I'm sorry about that. I had just turned off my speaker because it made a sound and I got distracted and I said the word encountered. What I meant to say was, after I got back from Italy, I was greeted by my parents. And that's a big thing, man. That's a really big thing. This trip, specifically of them coming to Munich to stay at my home for about 10 days, was planned, was organized. It came from, or, you know, it was confirmed through a very difficult process. And I understand that now more than ever. I get that getting, you know, older people in a certain routine who are comfortable with their life, who feel safe in their world, to fly across the globe is no easy feat. I completely get that. And, you know, I'm not going to go into all the fine details of why, you know, getting them here in the first place was, you know, kind of a complex series of steps and, you know, going backwards and then going forwards and then going backwards and going forwards. That's what I'm saving, you know, for my therapist. You know, I think everybody should take some sort of therapy, and I'm very happy to be in the situation that I'm in terms of like having a therapist. And this is no shame on my parents in any sense of the word, but like, of course, it was a complicated thing to get people out of their comfort zone to come here, but it worked out. And they came. My parents came here, and about 48 hours after coming to my home from Italy on a different vacation, they came here. And then you have this different sort of, it's not really a vacation, you know, then it's like a different thing. Then it's like you're hosting people, and you want them to have a nice time, and you're organizing groceries, and you're organizing events that you think they might enjoy. You're trying to keep things relaxed because you know what their normal world is like, and you don't want to overwhelm them. You want to show them amazing things. You want them to be entertained and engaged and interested, but you don't want to dump too many things each day. You don't want to exhaust them. And I think that's a common sort of battle that people who are from different places, especially I think from the south of the United States, have when they host family here anywhere in Europe. It could be, you know, someplace in Italy or France or Austria, you know, whatever it might be, somewhere else in Germany. I think it would be a different thing in Berlin as well. I think Berlin would have perhaps been more exhausting than where I am now, and maybe this is a good thing and a good time. But having them here was a beautiful, 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 amazing thing. I felt so lucky and so blessed and so, yeah, what's the word? You know, just like I felt so, it was like so opportunistic. Here we are at this right time in my life. Things have been changing. Things are more grounded now. You know, to be able to go to a restaurant with them and be recognized, to be recognized for the things I've been putting so much work into, for to have a waiter or the owner of a restaurant come up and say they're big fans of my videos or whatever. It's just incredible for people to come up and say, "Hey, you're Jordan Prince. I've bought tickets to your show and I love your content and blah, blah, blah." And to have my mom and my dad, like, you know, hear that, to be there, and for them to literally see the faces of people that come up occasionally and, you know, depending on the city or whatever, and who are fans, that's priceless. That's really priceless. And I wouldn't have traded that for anything, because it's very hard to explain to people who don't live in, it's very hard to explain to anybody who doesn't live in the country that you live in. It doesn't matter if I lived in, Japan and they're from Canada, or if I lived in Colombia and they were from, Zimbabwe or whatever. Like, it's very, very, very difficult to explain to people who don't live where you live about success. To explain to them, or to have them sort of wrap their head around change like that, you know, where a tour sells out, or, you know, whatever merchandising sort of avenues you're taking, what that might mean for you, and what the numbers might look like for things like this. You know, it's they know you as your parents, especially, they know you as the kid you were to them. And that's completely understandably something that will take time. And it takes special events for them to shift that, you know, specific thing out of, "Well, this was the kid who wet the bed forever, you know, as I was," into a guy who gets stopped and recognized at a restaurant for whatever reason, whether it's, you know, the concerts or the videos usually. You know, that's an interesting thing that they, if I tell them on the phone, "Hey, someone stopped me on the sidewalk and asked me for a photo," they'll be happy and they kind of understand that, but they don't feel it. And I was so happy that we could do something together where that kind of event could happen and they could feel it. And that was so special and so validating to me also. I wasn't putting a ton of pressure on something like that happening, but yeah, it's just like, I'm the kid. I'm in this relationship to them, I'm the kid. And it's amazing to be the kid and to know that something's taking place, or like to know that when something is taking place, how it's going to feel to them, to have that conversation and glance over and see this thing in their eyes of like, "Wow, okay." You know, he wasn't, not that they would think I'm lying, but like for them to go, you know, "Okay, I see it." You know, that's so special. And it was just a really amazing trip, hosting to different friends, introducing them to so many people that I care about, people that I love, people that I, you know, pay attention to and admire and want to stay connected to. And that was also very important for me for them to like kind of get a hands-on grasp on, this is where I record my stuff. This is where I spend my free time. This is where, you know, this is where we eat. You know, this is the garden. This is the local pizza place. You know, these are the people that I love. And it's just an important and interesting thing that I believe anybody who hosts their family after they've moved will go through. And I'm very thankful that it went so well. And on top of that, it's really amazing to be able to tell you guys about what happened right after my parents left. So it was a great trip with them. I had a lot of fun. I could show them, Starnberger See and these beautiful locations and, you know, good food, good beer, good friends. It was a really wonderful trip. It was long overdue and I had an amazing time, and I'm really grateful that they made the effort and came to do it. It meant a lot to me. So they left, right? So I had just been to Italy and then got back. And then my parents came and then they had just left. So my mindset was on, okay, I am so far behind on so many things. I'm going to tell you guys about all the work that is basically lined up for you, boy. But, and how stressful that was just for like a few hours where I was like, okay, throughout Italy, I couldn't really do a lot of stuff. I mean, I have a comedy tour coming up in 1 month, and it's kind of crazy and freaky trying to think about how to finish that and to make everything like polished as hell. So I was terrified about that and working on that. And then, you know, I still have my regular income, my job, which is basically to make my comedy videos in partnership with brands, and I have contracts with brands. And so I was like trying to, you know, split off occasionally in Italy to go to like, you know, a small room and film something, or to like take advantage of a certain background and do that, and then asking people for help, and then coming back to Munich, and then having my parents here, and despite all of the incredibly positive things, having these little moments throughout the day where I'd go, oh man, well, you know, okay, I can put this off, it's okay, it's no problem, but I really should think about doing this, and making lists about things I have to do with the tour, and this job that I'm gonna go into in a second with you guys, and also the regular video work, and also I've been putting off the podcast. I had a little idea at one point. I had a note written down of like mom and dad on podcast ? But then I didn't get around to it, and I should have done it, and it probably would have been amazing, but it was just too much all at once and too stressful and exhausting. And yeah, you know how it goes. So right after they left, it was like, I mean, let me look at the calendar. They left on a Friday morning, and I believe it was Saturday afternoon the next day. I got the surprise of a lifetime. They left Friday morning. I take them to the airport. I drop them off. I take a picture of them leaving. I text them. I've been writing with my mom regularly about their trip back. You know, I suppose dad's right back at work. And the next day I had this breath where it was bad weather. It was rainy and cold. Germany's been punishing us, but it was still like this day of, there's no, you know, outsiders in the private shell. And that same feeling I would have, despite if it was my parents or, you know, one of my oldest, best, closest friends from back home. For example, Mason, who we had on the show, incredible guest, you know, to have in my home. Like, it was still, okay, sorry guys, I realize now I've been having some issues throughout this recording. I hope it wasn't too bothersome. I'm watching it now, and I'm listening for any crackling, any distortion, any disruption. I think it might be okay. I'm just gonna keep my hands off my desk. You see, I have this, really nice new laptop, but the problem is the cable I'm using to plug this microphone in is a little bit janky. And sometimes if I put too much pressure on the desk, you can imagine it just sort of tilts, like the pressure tilts it, you know, left or right. And then the cable kind of, you know, bounces out. So what I mean to say with all of that, if I can remember what I was saying in the first place, what I mean to say is, despite who has been here and how wonderful it has been, from Mason, a good friend who was very self-contained and calming, very calming and peaceful, to my parents, whom, you know, there's always going to be a little bit of stress, not on their, not because it's them, but because you want to make sure they have a nice time. Like, you want to make sure a guest has a nice time, and they feel, you know, appreciated and entertained and full bellies and see something cool. To my brother, who, you know, his few days here were just an awesome combination of absolutely doing nothing in the best way possible to, you know, seeing some of the most incredible visual tourist sites in the entire city. From all of that, there's still this feeling deep underneath it of, okay, wow. So from end of August until now, I've been putting off so much stuff, and there's a little bit of stress under all that. So, man, I really wish I remembered, because of this damn problem with the cable. I was on a flow there, and I knew what I was trying to say, but now I can't really remember it. And I think I was basically going into the direction of, like, there's a lot to do, and there's a lot to talk about and to catch up on, and that even if you're very, very happy with a guest or a visitor, if it's just an interesting time, or if your work is just kind of piling on at the same time, you wish that, you know, you could sort of pause time or pause those things and separate them. I think what I'm going to do next August or September, especially if we're traveling anywhere, is just to put a big old juicy pause sign, a good old fashioned pause menu that you'll see on the Nintendo Switch if you're playing Mario Kart 8, a good old fashioned like a little boop, pause sign that you can choose when you resume and go back into the fray, you know. I didn't enjoy worrying about deadlines for company videos or worrying about this comedy tour. You know, when the parents left, I had this breath of like, okay, I don't want anybody here. I don't want any guests. I don't want to travel. I don't want any distractions. I've got to hunker down, you know, and I have this big job that I'm about to do this week. I'm going to be gone all this week in a different city, and which I'll talk about next, which is very exciting. But all of that, it's like, you know, work I love, but still it's like, okay, schedule, time, money, like it's stressful stuff. And then my brother shows up, and it's immediately my gut instinct, which is what happened, is to toss all of that out of the window, driving 100 miles an hour. Just like, bye-bye, don't care, let's spend time with my brother and just drink wine and play video games and just, you know, sort of connect him to my life and the people that are important to me. Yeah, so it's been a crazy thing. I had to stop again there. You might have noticed it. I've been having some issues with this cable, and it's really starting to bother me. I'm very grateful that this issue did not happen when I interviewed Martin, the water sommelier, the last episode that I did that's available on my YouTube. Go check it out, please. But let me just, this won't be a long one. Let me wrap it up here because I have too much stuff to do. I'm very happy to announce. So I have been cast in a television show. I am going to be basically the main, it's weird to say like the main person of one episode because I'm not like in every single scene, but you know, one of the main plot lines, and maybe like, you know, they think of it like an A plot and a B plot. I think I'm the A plot. I have to read it again. Maybe I'm the B plot. I don't know. Let's just say B plot. So it's, you know, not the main sort of chapter story of the episode, because there are a lot of pages of people talking about their own thing that I'm not involved with. So probably I'm the B plot. But it's a sitcom for ZDF Neo, and I can't really say much else. I'm only in one episode. I say only, but it's so cool. I'm very excited to do it. I'm very grateful to be a part of it. I'm friends with the, you know, head writer, and this person wrote this, you know, character with me in mind, wanting me to do it, fought for me to do it. And I'm grateful that the network approved of me doing it. It went down from like a recurring small person that shows up in different episodes to, you know, like the main plot line of one of the plot lines in this singular episode, but no problem. You know, I'm gonna do my best, and I hope they like it. And I'm gonna leave tomorrow, as of this recording, and go to Cologne and be there for, I guess, 3 days. Costume, makeup, measurements, rehearsals, shooting for 2 days, and I'm really excited. I think it's really crazy to be doing this. It's the most, you know, official professional acting job I've had since I moved here, and I'm really pumped to do it. I'll be there for a few days. I come back over the weekend to Munich, and then it's just all sort of diving headfirst into finishing up all the fine details for this live tour. So for those who have booked tickets, I'm excited to see you in Berlin and in Hamburg and in Munich, of course. And I think we're going to film the final show of Munich, which should be the warmest, you know, sort of like fleshed out performance of the four. We've locked in the theater tour dates for next year, which is going to go into an official promotion not too long after this tour is done. We have a Jordan Prince hot sauce coming, and soon the Jordan Prince socks will be available for purchase. So yeah, a lot of stuff going on. Sorry again for the tech issues in this one, but I'm very happy to be back in your ear, and I'm so grateful for my parents for visiting me. It just meant so much to me and my brother as well. I love you guys with all my heart. I'm glad you made it back home safe. And yeah, some big stuff coming. TV show, the regular videos, podcast, working on a book deal. You know, there's a lot of stuff to talk about. Wish I could do like a 2-hour episode here with a friend, like on video, but I can't this time around. But I owed you guys a fresh one, so here you go. If I sound exhausted or a little crazy, it's because I am both of those, and I love you, and I'll keep you updated. Subscribe, rate, review, comment. I love you, all that jazz. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week. Bye bye.
Look out, baby, the Saints are coming through, and it's all over.